Good morning again. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. And we've been talking about really us as a church family. So if you're new, you're checking in online, you're trying to figure out what we're about. Really, we've been talking about us for the past few weeks. And we've been talking about who we want to be, who we are, and things like that. But you know, I've noticed something when churches talk about themselves. It's one thing to like describe yourself, like who you want to be and who you are. But it's a completely different thing for people who are on the outside, like people who aren't a part of Hub City Church, for them to describe us, for them to say what defines us as a church. And really what we've been talking about for the past few weeks isn't just what I want us to say about ourselves. It's what I want other people who aren't even a part of our church family to say about us. Like when they look at us, I want them to say, you know what, those just aren't Christians who just believe, but then they live however they want to. No, no, no. Those are Jesus followers who look a lot like Jesus, who treat people a lot like Jesus, who are following Jesus, who are being changed by Jesus, who are engaging in the mission of Jesus. That's what I want them to say about us. I want them to say things like, you know what, those people, they value unity over personal preference there at Hub City Church. Why? Because they're unified. They don't agree politically. They don't agree when it comes to what you should do with your kids in school. But you know what? They're unified because they're focused on Jesus and his mandate to go make disciples who are making disciples. And then I want them to say, you know what, those people at Hub City, they're authentic. They value authenticity over perfection because, man, they're just real people. And they're messy for sure, but you know what? They're real. But if I could narrow it down to really one thing that I want people to say about us, it's what we're going to talk about today. Because our third value really should be the one thing that characterizes us above everything else, because Jesus said this should be the one thing that should characterize us as his followers. And so our third value that we're going to talk about is this. We value relationships over programs. Now we're going to talk about this and unpack this today a little bit. But I want us to kind of dive down on the fact that we value relationships over programs. That is, I want us as a church to be known as a group of people who are for people. No matter where you're from, what your background is, no matter how messy your life is or what you believe or don't believe, we are for people. I want us to be known as a church that loves people and that values relationships with people over programs. Let me kind of talk about that a little bit. And I want you just to, I hope you know this about Christianity. One of the things that makes Christianity unique and different from every other world religion is the fact that the Creator God, the one that we worship, the one that we sang about being greater, the Creator God created us in order to have a relationship with us. And you see that way back in the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, you see God walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was this incredible, intimate relationship that God had with these first people that he created. But then something happened that messed everything up. You know what happened, right? They sinned. And it just messed up that relationship. It broke that relationship. They went and actually hid from God because the relationship was so messed up. See, that's what sin does. Sin entered into the world and it messed up our relationship with God. But God wanted a relationship with human beings so bad that he sent his one and only son into our messed up world to die, to pay the price, to be a sacrifice so that our sin could be forgiven, so that our sin could be paid for, so that we could have this restored relationship with God. And see, that's God fixed the problem that sin created because he wanted so badly to have a relationship with us, which, by the way, if you don't realize this, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background is, you were created to have a relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, I would love to talk with you about that because there is nothing more important in your life than having a relationship with God. And that relationship was made possible because what Jesus has done for us on the cross by dying and raising from the dead. But not only do we see that God wanted to have a relationship with people back in the beginning of the Bible, but if you get over to the New Testament, what you realize right up front in the Gospels, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that Jesus really modeled this for us. See, Jesus chose some guys to be his disciples, and he didn't just want to invite them to learn from him. He invited them into a relationship with him. Think about what Jesus did with these disciples. He spent time with them. They saw him deal with people and situations. They got mad at him. They didn't understand him. He had to be patient with them and teach them. He told them to do some things that were crazy, and they did it. They shared their lives with Jesus for 3.5 years. And over that time, as they were in this intimate relationship with Jesus, they were changed. They were transformed. It was through this intimate relationship with Jesus that these disciples actually became disciples, became these followers of Jesus. I find it interesting that Jesus never asked his disciples to sign up for a class or a seminar. He never said, look, you know, as long as you go through this 12-step program of following Jesus 101, then you can be my disciple. He didn't do that, right? He never made them go through some kind of discipleship curriculum. What did Jesus do? He invited them to follow him. He invited them into a relationship with him. And Jesus really modeled this value for us, relationships over programs, because he that's what he showed when he was working with his disciples. So since we have this God who prioritizes relationships over programs, we really think that as a church, we should probably be like him. We should do the same thing that he did. That should be our goal. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying, because I know some of you hear this and you're like, oh my gosh, are you saying that programs are bad or programs are unnecessary? Well, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is this. We have a tendency to prioritize programs over relationships in church. And when we do that, there's a problem. Whenever we put programs over and above relationships, there is a problem. When programs become more important than relationships, we have a problem. See, one thing I've noticed a lot of times in church, and I've been in church my whole life. I was going to church before I was born, right? I've been working in churches since 1996. Actually, no, 1993 I've been working in churches. I can't even count. That's a long time, right? One of the things that I've noticed in church world is that we substitute programs for relationships. And you know why we do that? Because programs are easy. Like, you can work a program. You can work a Sunday school class. You can work a Bible study. You can work a nursery. Relationships, though, they're hard. They're difficult. Why? Because you are messy people, right? Relationships are hard. It's really easy to work a program. But it's relationships, they're difficult. But what we see from Jesus and how he modeled for us, how he lived, how he interacted with people, we see that Jesus was overwhelmingly relational. Everything he did was through relational channels. And so we want to be like Jesus. And that's why we have this value, well, where we value relationships over and above programs. Now, to kind of unpack this a little bit further, I want to look at a passage out of John chapter 15. If you have your Bible, you can open up there. You can pull it up on the Bible app if you have that with you. Let me tell you why we're looking at this passage out of John 15. I think that our goal as people who call ourselves Jesus followers, now if you're not a Jesus follower, this is not your goal. I understand that. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, our goal should be to be like, should be to become like Jesus, which means we need to live the life that Jesus would live if Jesus were living our life. It means that we need to love people the way Jesus loved people. It means that we need to care for people the way Jesus cared for people. We need to treat people the way Jesus treated people. Jesus is our example, right? He's the one we're following after, we're modeling our lives after. So if Jesus prioritized relationships, then we should probably do that too. And we see how Jesus prioritized relationships in John chapter 15. Now, you need to read the whole chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of John. In the beginning of John chapter 15, Jesus talks about how the Father is the gardener and he's the vine and we're the branches. And if we remain in him and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit, that we can't do anything apart from him. It's this incredible invitation for us to remain or to abide with Jesus, which is such, those are relational terms right there. But then we get to verse 9, and Jesus says something incredible about his disciples. He's talking to his followers, and look at what he says. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now just imagine for a minute, if you're one of the 12 guys that are hanging out with Jesus, and Jesus says this to you. I mean, Jesus makes this declaration. This is Jesus, remember, the Son of God, you know, the Messiah. Jesus makes this declaration right to their face of how much he loves them. And he loves them, not just in this human way. No, he loves them in the same way the Father has loved him, this intimate, relational way. And then he challenges them to remain in his love. Now, I want you to think about love for just a minute. Love is a relational term, right? In fact, I would argue that you can't love someone, truly love someone, if you don't have a relationship with someone. Like, it's easy to say, I love you from a distance, but it's a lot easier when you really get to know someone and who they really are to actually live out what you're saying, right? And we can say we love people all the time, but you can't really love people unless you're in relationships with people, right? And Jesus here shows that he's in this relationship with these disciples, and he has this love-based relationship with them. And he goes on and says this next in verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Reminds me of one of our mantras that we have here at Hub City, that a disciple is someone who hears from God and does what he says, that as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, our lives should be characterized by obedience to Jesus. And that's what he says here, that keeping his commands is how we remain in his love. Doing what he tells us to do is how we remain in that love relationship. And the reason this makes sense is because we've talked about it already, that sin messes up the relationship, right? When we don't do what Jesus tells us to do, that's called sin. And whenever we sin, we end up breaking or hurting or damaging the relationship. And we all know this, right? Because you have sinned against someone in your life, and because of that, the relationship was broken. That's what happens when we don't do what Jesus tells us to do. So Jesus says, look, if you want to remain in this relationship with me, it involves obedience, doing what I tell you to do. That's how we remain in his love. And then he says this in verse 11. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, Jesus shifts gears a little bit and he starts talking about joy. And Jesus tells his disciples and us in turn that he wants us to have his joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I would really like to have Jesus's joy, because Jesus is, you know, God and all this kind of stuff. I'd kind of, you know, when it comes to joy, I'd like to have Jesus's joy. But the way we get Jesus's joy is by remaining in this intimate relationship with him. Having his joy is contingent upon us being in a relationship with him. And then he gives us this command. Look at this. He says, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say love each other when you feel like it. He doesn't say love each other when you like what the other person's doing for you. He doesn't say love each other when you fill in the blank. No, how does he tell us to love each other? In the same way he has loved us. Now remember how Jesus loved you? God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He showed us his love by dying for us. So we're to love as he has loved us. Now let me just say something about this command here. If I could boil down one thing that I want us to be known for here at Hub City, it would be this: that we love each other in the same way that Jesus has loved us. I want us to be known for our love. Like, when people think of Hub City Church, I'm okay with them saying they're a bunch of messy, weird people that are part of Hub City Church, but you know what? They really love each other there. Like, I don't know how they love each other, because they're so weird and different, but they do. They really love each other there. That's what I want us to be known for. But here's the deal. This requires that we're in relationship with one another. This requires that we know one another. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. But I want to wrap up what Jesus says with the next couple of verses here. And as I read these, I want you to kind of tell me what Jesus calls his disciples. Look at what he says. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What does Jesus call the disciples? Friends. He doesn't call them servants, even though they are. He doesn't call them students, even though they are. He doesn't call them future church members, even though they will be. He calls them friends. The God who created the universe and became a person in Jesus calls these disciples his friends. It's this relational thing. His relationship with them is so close and so intimate that they're his friends, not just acquaintance friends. No, no, no. Friends that are so close that he's willing to lay down his life for them, which eventually he does on the cross, right? So, from these few verses, I think it's clear that our value is what we, this should be such an important value, that we value relationships over programs, that should be something that's so, so important to us because it was so, so important to Jesus. We want to follow his example. We want to do what he modeled for us. Now, let me just say this too. I know that we do some things around here that we could call programs, right? We do hub groups, our version of small groups, right? We also, well, not right now because of the pandemic, but we have Hub City Kids and Hub City Preschool and Hub City Nursery stuff. You know, hopefully we'll get back to having those sort of things after the pandemic calms down. But here's what I want you to get. What each of those environments are supposed to do, while they might be called so-called programs, we want everything we do, those environments and really everything we do, to facilitate relationships. See, the reason we have hub groups is to facilitate relationships because the way that we grow as disciples of Jesus is through relationships. And the way that we make disciples is through relationships. See, here's the problem. We can't grow as a disciple of Jesus on our own. We only get so far. We kind of hit a ceiling. Why? Because if the number one thing we're supposed to do is love one another and we're just doing it all by ourselves, we're not practicing the number one thing that we're supposed to be doing in loving one another. See, this value is so important to us because it is only through relationships that we make disciples. This, and like I said, this is why hub groups are so essential. Because it's really hard. It's especially hard right now in days of COVID. I mean, we're all spaced down in this room. If you're online, you can't see this right now. But, you know, there's like 10 feet in between each row. Everybody's got masks on. You know, you don't even know if they brushed their teeth today. It's like really weird. And then all of you at home are kind of separated. It's hard for us to be connected right now. That's why hub groups are so important. They provide an opportunity for us to connect, to build relationships with one another. And we're going to be relaunching those next month. I'll tell you some more information about that in a few weeks. But not only that, this is also why as a church, we don't have a church calendar that's filled with a bunch of church activities for church people. Because one of the things that I've discovered being a part of churches for so many years is that churches have so much stuff going on that you're so busy doing stuff that you're not able to build relationships with the people that you're doing stuff with. And not only that, even worse, you're not able to build relationships with those people around you who need a relationship with Jesus. And we don't want to do that here at Hub City. We want you to have space where you can build relationships with people, people who are a part of the church and people who aren't a part of the church. So I have some homework for you. In light of this value, in light of our value relationships over programs, I want you to do something this week to invest relationally in someone, okay? And I'm gonna give you some examples. One, maybe there's somebody that you don't really know all that well here at Hub City, and this is a little bit difficult to do in the time of COVID, I understand this, but somebody you don't know all that well, what could you do to get to know them a little bit better? Maybe there's somebody that you just haven't seen for a while. Like if you're at home, you don't realize this, but Betty is here today and she hasn't been here. And it's so good to see Betty. And I just haven't seen her in a while, but let's just say Betty didn't show up today. And I realized, you know what? I haven't talked to Betty in a couple months. I need to connect with her. Who's somebody that you haven't seen in a while that you can contact or connect with this week? That's the way that you can apply this value. Go out of your way to get in touch with somebody that you haven't seen because of this pandemic. Here's another way that you can put this value into practice. Go out of your way to build a relationship with someone who's not yet a part of Hub City Church. Specifically, somebody who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. See, I think there's a problem if all we ever do is build relationships with each other. That's not what Jesus did. If you remember, Jesus built relationships with these disciples and then he kept sending them out. And he kept going and telling him, okay, I want you to go into this town, I want you to do this, and I want you to tell him, you know, do all these things over here and send these people out. And then Jesus up and leaves the earth. He leaves the planet and says, look, you guys are in charge. You'll receive the Holy power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the disciples, they didn't get it, right? They kind of huddled around Jerusalem, and God says, let me show you what I'm going to do, and sends persecution, and they end up scattering. And because of that, the gospel starts spreading all around the world, and you and I right now are followers of Jesus because of that, them being sent, them living sent, them going out and building relationships and making disciples. So go out of your way to build a relationship with someone who's not yet a follower of Jesus. And here's why this is so important. I don't know how you have felt over the past few months, but one of my overwhelming feelings over the past few months is a feeling of disconnection. Like it's hard to connect with people. I mean, if you're online, I'm not really connecting with you. I mean, I'm only connecting so-so with the people in the room. I mean, we're not supposed to shake hands, and you got masks on. I can't even see your face, you know? It's just, it's so hard to connect during this time that we're in right now. But do you know something? All of us, and really not just us, everybody in the world right now is craving relationships. They're craving connection. They're craving to be known and loved for who they really are. And you know what? The only place where they can really have that kind of experience where they're known and loved for who they really are is within the church. Because we as the church should model ourselves after God, and God loved us and accept us for who we really are in spite of all of our sin, right? This is the only environment where people can really be accepted like that. We can really do something about this disconnection problem that a lot of us are struggling with right now. But it means we're going to have to reach out. It means we're going to have to call somebody. I mean, I really appreciate it. I was actually driving to work the other day, and Gary Shalit gave me a call on the phone. Hey, I was just thinking of you, you know? He tried to say some smart aleck about South Carolina Gamecocks, and maybe I hung up on him after that. But you know, that's just connecting. We can all do that. We can all reach out. And that's what people really, really need. And so just imagine for just a minute. Imagine what might happen if word got out in our community, in our town, our little city that we call Spartanburg here. If word got out that you and I were like people who were experts at relationships where we love one another. What if word got out about that? You know what I think would happen? I think people would start to want what it is that we have. I think we might just see the spiritual awakening and the revival that we desperately need right now. Why? Because we're just doing what Jesus did. We're prioritizing relationships over programs. We're making sure we are experts at loving people. So what can you do this week to reach out relationally to someone, to connect with someone that you haven't seen or heard from in a while? Just one person. You can go beyond that, you know, but just pick one. And don't everybody call me. Pick somebody else, okay? That's just it. I'm just going to call Jonathan. That's the easy way out. No, I'm not going to answer, okay? I've got your number stored in my phone. Pick somebody else. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about something that I know is so close to your heart, because you tell us that the way that the world is going to know that we're your disciples is how we love one another, how we do relationships with one another. And we want the world to know that we're your disciples because we want the world to become your disciples. But that means we're going to have to do the hard work of relationships. Give us the strength and the courage to do that. Right now, would you just speak to people, whether they're online or in the room, about who it is that they can reach out to? I pray that they would reach out and connect with someone who's a part of the church that they haven't seen in a while. And I pray also that they would reach out to build a relationship with someone who's far away from you, so they can help that person who's far away from you come back into a relationship with you, that relationship that they were created for. And Lord, I just want to pray for anybody that's a part of this gathering today who does not have a relationship with you. Would you just engage their heart and their mind right now and help them to know that you're real and that you love them and that you created them to have a personal and intimate relationship with you. And may they turn in your direction. I know you'll be waiting for them, Lord. Thank you for this. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to share communion together. If you're in the room, you can pull out your little prepackaged cups. If you're at home, I hope you have something with you where you can share with communion. And really, I was thinking about, in light of what we talked about today, and the truth is that Jesus' death on the cross, the thing that we remember whenever we do communion together, it's what makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God, right? Like if Jesus had never died for your sin and my sin, the only hope we would have would be to sacrifice animals, and that's not cutting it because it didn't cut it for the Israelites. They kept having to do it over and over again. We would have no hope if it weren't for Jesus' death on the cross. And communion is how we remember Jesus' death for us, that the bread represents that his body that was broken for us. The juice represents his blood that was shed so that our sins can be forgiven. And so as we take communion together, which is a reminder, communion is an act of unity. It's showing that we are one as a church family. Not only that, communion is an acknowledgement that we are sinners, but we wanna remember Jesus' sacrifice. And we wanna thank him for it. So I just wanna invite you just to kind of bow your head and close your eyes. And for you just to have a little personal, intimate moment with your Creator. And tell him thank you for his sacrifice. And then as you eat the bread, remember his body being broken. As you drink the juice, remember his blood being shed. Jesus, And you know, we've had this conversation before. I really don't have the words to express my gratitude for the sacrifice that you made for me and for everybody in this room and really for everybody in the world. But I just want to say thank you. I thank you that my life has purpose and meaning because I have a relationship with you. Really, that's the only thing that gives my life purpose and meaning. And that apart from you, I am nothing and I can do nothing, but I can have a relationship with you because of your sacrifice, Jesus. And I just say, thank you. It's in your name we pray, amen. As the band comes up to kind of lead us in one more song, I just wanna give you an opportunity to worship through your giving. If you're in the room, we've got some baskets that are sitting around. You can put your offering in that. If you're at home, you can do it online. I just think it's good to remind ourselves that part of our worship is not just consuming religious goods and services, like listening to some songs or hearing a sermon and having God speak to us, but part of our worship is actually opening up our checkbook or our pocketbook or your debit card and your bank account and giving back to God some of what he's given to you. I mean, Jesus said that says something about your heart. You know, what you do with your finances says where your heart really is, right? And Jesus wants our heart. And so I invite you to worship through giving, and then we're gonna end our time by worshiping through singing. So thanks, guys.